It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point here at the midway point of our show. So we start hour number three with Stanford Steve, who we've talked to in the past and really have enjoyed our conversations with him. And, of course, he is a part of SportsCenter, the late-night SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. He does other things that we're going to get into, and he now joins us on the show. Steve, how you doing?
Excellent, fellas. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing awesome. 2+ months at home, so everybody's doing things differently as you guys are. Let me just start off by saying this. I've really enjoyed, obviously the country has really enjoyed The Last Dance, but I have really enjoyed in these times, Steve, that you guys, at least I'll speak for myself, are able to capture me to make sure I stay with you guys and don't turn away, because I've enjoyed your interviews you've had and how you've handled kind of the follow-up. It's almost like the post-show game to The Last Dance. I've really enjoyed that as everything wrapped up this past Sunday.
Well, I appreciate you guys hanging around. It's really tough. It's, you know, with the editing process, I don't know if you've read the stuff about The Last Dance, the stuff that they ran into, you know, in the last – I mean, he didn't submit episode 10 until last Wednesday, I think, or Thursday. So, you know, just with the pandemic hitting everybody, I mean, shoot, I'm in my garage right now trying to hide from my kids to talk to you guys. So I appreciate you giving me a breather. But, hey, you know, like I said, though, going back to the Last Dance stuff, the time is so, you know, precious to the special, and they have all the time. So, like, we couldn't even get a promo in during the airing, you know, coming back from break. You know, we had to pray that people were just going to stay through the credits, and maybe we could speed the credits up just to let people know. I tried some things on Twitter just to let people know to hang out, but, you know, a lot of people Sunday night, I know people are working from home now, but Sunday night, people see credits on something, they're gone.
Yeah.
So we tried to get word out. Scott, you know, did some stuff. I mean, he mentioned the idea of, you know, when Game of Thrones was going on, that, you know, people were doing post-show breakdowns there and the post-show recap. So, I mean, we tried to do that, go all in. I'm fortunate for people like Jackie McMullen, Michael Wilbon, Steve Kerr, all these people that have just, you know, helped us out and you know, FaceTiming from home or Skyping from home. I'm sure you guys have run into the same thing with the phone interviews and all that stuff. So it was a really fun thing to do, knowing how many people were going to be watching it and knowing how many people didn't want it to end. You just, every week, everybody just can't wait till next week. So we just tried to prolong it, show an excerpt from next week, and just try to deep dive, you know, maybe something you didn't get inside the episode. We did a little longer deep dive with Scott with the highlights, since we can't do any highlights of live events now.
Yeah, I thought the Barkley interview was one that stood out to me as well. We have found through this that, look, we're sitting here doing 4 hours of sports talk radio a day, 5 days a week with, you know, no live sports until here recently to really talk about through all of this. But one thing that has come out of this, Steve, is we've had some really incredible, you know, Mookie Betts, David Price, Eddie George, Jeff Fisher, a lot of great guests come on here. I could keep going. And just that relaxed feel, and just have gone down some rabbit holes that you never could go down in the past because of time constraints, and they, you know, they, whether it's on their end or our end, and just really get guests to open up and have just some unique interviews. Have you guys experienced that as well? I know television's a little bit different dynamic, but have you experienced a little bit of the same?
100%. But you know what's crazy is, I mean, you guys mentioned you're doing it for 4 hours every day. You know, we're doing it every, you know, I mean, it's a process to try and tape people and all that stuff for TV. But I don't think it hit us until last week. We had James Corden on, you know, with the Late Late Show, and we're taping with him, and he's in his freaking garage doing, you know, doing a national show. And, like, you know, we're just sitting there, and he's just sitting with his, you know, with his hand on his mouth, like, you know, I felt like I've had better interviews talking to people because, I mean, Nick Saban said it last night. We're talking to him from his house, and he's like, I just feel more relaxed. And I'm like, you know, that's not hard for coach to do, but it's just, I think, you know, even booking guests, I'm sure your producers feel the same thing. Like, hey, you know what? Like, you know, maybe not in 15 minutes, but we're flexible. You know, we'll make it work. You know, people have more time on their hands as long as, you know, things are set at home. That's where I'm running into trouble is I got my kids at home and homeschool. My wife's trying to work from home, and then I'm going into work at night. We're going into the studio every night, which I feel very fortunate to do. But no doubt about it, the interviews have been just way more authentic, not rushed. And I just think people are more thoughtful because they have that much more time on their hands. And, you know, I keep going back to Saban, but Saban said it last night. You know, it's just, you know, he's in a profession where family time isn't a priority. And now he has all – he just couldn't talk about how thankful he is. And, I mean, for a guy that works nights and misses dinner every night, with my kids, I've been able to hang home. You know, we do a Zoom call now and, you know, try and stay at work as less as possible as far as meeting times go. So I think there's been a lot of more feelings of, you know, being more authentic. And I think it's good for people to take a step back. You know, obviously, you know, other stuff is going on, you know, way more negative. But just to take a step back and maybe look yourself in the mirror a couple more times a day, and realize, you know, maybe I, you know, don't take it as many things for granted. So it has been refreshing in that essence for sure.
ESPN Stanford Steve on the line with us. I think the last time we spoke with you, I told you how much I enjoy Bad Beats. I mean, I just absolutely love that segment. Bad Beats are tough during this pandemic, but I know you do a lot of stuff, you know, when it's involved with betting and a part of shows and that I've watched you on. You guys do a really good job. Something we've been talking about here, and we have been today, this week, and throughout all this, is now that we're starting to get the feel, Steve, that a lot of this is coming back, and whether it's hockey, because we're in a hockey market, we have a professional hockey team here, or the NBA, or these sports coming back, what is it going to look like, you know, with 3+ months of these athletes, where everything came to a screeching halt? And we're trying to figure out, especially if the NBA and NHL pick up in playoffs, you know, like they just scrap finishing up their regular season. We're talking about now it's a round robin tournament where elimination's at stake. And like I said, you don't know what you're going to get coming back from this. How difficult will it make will it feel a lot like preseason games, assessing lines and trying to, you know, the gambling aspect of not knowing what the heck these teams are going to look like coming out of this?
Yeah, it's a total stay away for me from the start. first off, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sure you have plenty of discussions, but we can't have a single elimination tournament to raise the Stanley Cup. That cannot happen. But from the gambling aspect, I feel like there's just so much unknown. Here's the biggest thing is how many of these athletes have their trainers living with them, you know, during the season. And then how many of those trainers said, you know what, it's going to be a while, I'm going to leave. Because we're in a day and age where these guys do whatever, they're so regimented in their routines that the personal trainers are the most important thing to me. So I look at that as, you know, obviously the guys are going to be in tip-top shape. I know there's been talk about the NBA that they need to play some regular season games to get to the regional market sales, you know, so everybody gets some of that money. The NHL has been as hush-hush as anybody. But gambling-wise, it's a stay away for me, man. Like, people want to go out and throw all their money. I mean, I know I got a lot more money in my pocket from not betting on NBA playoffs. I'll tell you that. It's a slow go for me. You know, we got futures posted now for college football and NFL season win totals. Like, I don't know who's on what team. You know, teams didn't even have college football. You don't have anybody that had spring ball. You know, I mean, freshmen, how are they going to do? You know, coming in that were supposedly all these high recruits. And, you know, that's their learning time. You got kids coming in early now for spring ball to do all that adaptation and learning of the playbooks and the concepts. That's gone. These guys are going to have to learn, you know, learn it under fire. And I don't think that's at least for me, I don't feel confident in having to wager money on stuff like that when you have so many intangibles that are unknown.
Talking to Steve Coughlin, known as Stanford Steve from SportsCenter. And, of course, you see him on Scott Van Pelt. You've seen a lot, especially if you're watching The Last Dance. He's coming on right after those shows. So, Steve, I want to ask you, from sort of the wagering, the odds-making angle of this thing, we know how random the NHL playoffs can be to start with. Mm. And then you add possibly a 2 out of 3, which is what is being widely talked about for sort of a play-in to get mm-hmm. to the first round. And talk about, in your mind, how you would try to set the odds, just knowing all of these random things that you have in a normal season. And then take, for example, you could have Montreal with a great goalie, but not a great yep. team, but a 2 out of 3 against a much more powerful team on paper in the Maple Leafs. A lot of people think that Montreal would have a legit shot, even though on paper they would be a big underdog.
And you're not factoring in home ice or home court advantages in this.
That's exactly where I was going. I mean, I think when it gets down to it, you know, home ice might mean less than, obviously you guys have one of the best home crowds in all the league, and you don't want to hear that said. But I think home ice, just because of the mentality of hockey players of not, you know, caring less about things like that, I think it means less than, you know, basketball. So you can't even factor in home ice, home goalie, stuff like that, because, you know, we're going to have, you know, crickets in the stands. So it's 2 or 3. I mean, that's something I don't even remember. One thing I do wish, especially, the NHL is built off those 7-game marathons, but a nice 5-game series in the first round, I don't think would hurt anybody to get in the mix. But when you talk to these, you know, best out of 3 to get in the playoffs, I mean, you throw everything out the window. I mean, that's flipping a coin to me. You mentioned the hot goalie. You mentioned offensive firepower that the Leafs might have. We know the adage that, you know, great defense, you know, beats great offense all the time. So that's another stay away for me, man. That's hard. I mean, that's why those guys in the desert get paid what they got to do. They can make those odds, and then we can partake if we want when we see maybe an advantage or two.
Well, here's something that is always a factor in the great bad beats, right? A rant, you know, a tough, controversial call by an official. So regardless of the sport, but let's say basketball or hockey, you don't have the crowd that's influencing it psychologically, something that the official would have to fight, right? It's always a great debate is how much are officials swayed by the roar of the crowd for the home team. So imagine officiating with no crowd. I think that's pretty interesting. And you could have a call that would be pretty controversial, but you won't have the reaction of the crowd.
Absolutely. And then what are we going to do with all the trash talking on the field? I mean, hockey players, I love them, but on the hockey ice, there's more trash talk on there than there is maybe in any sport. So, you know, with no crowd noise, how much are those microphones going to be picked up? And then what I've been really curious about is, they're talking about what's getting mic'd up, what's not. I mean, is it possible that they can put these on a little bit of tape delay? And then what does that do to live betting? Can you only live bet, and at the end of periods, at the end of quarters, at halftime? So, the referees, I mean, I know that when I've been out to Summer League, that's more of a up-and-comer referees doing those games. So it's more of a high school atmosphere. But the NBA is in its own tier when it comes to players and referees conversation on the court. Because, I mean, you know, it feels like it's nonstop when you're watching it with crowd noise. I can't imagine what we're going to hear, with no crowd noise. So, yeah, that's a fascinating aspect that I can't wait to see how it plays out and what do we do to try and, you know, not let it affect the way we're watching a game.
Steve, I'm sure you've answered this question many times, but for people that maybe have never heard the origin of it, can you give us the background? Where did the concept of bad beats come from?
Oh, well, Scott and I and Ryan Russillo, I was their producer on radio for years, earlier in around 2010, 2011, and Scott had the idea of trying to do Bad Beats on the radio. We used to just you know, back end an hour, you know, where you have a hard out and try and get, you know, email suggestions and stuff like that. We just couldn't do it on radio. You know, the visual aspect is what makes it. So when Scott said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this Sports Center and I want you to come with me. And, you know, I said, you know, what the hell am I going to do? You know, I never worked on TV or anything. He's like, no, we're going to do Bad Beats and you're going to be part of it. I'm like, really? He's like, I told him I'm not doing the show if we can't do Bad Beats. So it all goes to Scott. It was, you know, his idea. And he said we were going to do it. And he got them to buy in to do it. And from there, it's just blown into what everyone mentions when, you know, when our show comes up. Diana Taurasi was doing an interview the other night, and you know, for The Last Dance, she talks about how she stays up on Monday nights to watch Bad Beats. Like, it's just resonated with the most random people, but I think people love it because it's funny and it's horrific if you're in the moment and you've laid a couple shekels on a game and you know that pain and that feeling. So it's a mixture of emotions that a lot of people have endured. So it all goes to Scott. I've just been along for the ride. It's a great process. We've tried to, you know, dabble in looking back at old point spreads during Michael Jordan's, you know, career. We got a great research staff that
what was the first one you guys ever did? Do you remember, Steve?
The first one that we ever did was Colorado State, and it was Sam Houston State. It was one of those schools down in the southeast, and we had to lift the video from the Colorado State website because it wasn't on TV. And one of our researchers was like, we have to check this out because there's a blocked punt with 12 seconds left, and then they take a knee or something like that. So it was, yeah, we lifted the video from the school's website, like, you know, one of those, you know, live stream videos. But yeah, that was the first one we did. Oh man, I can't remember who they were playing. Colorado State, whatever it was. 2015.
I'm sure it was great quality.
Oh, it actually wasn't horrible. I mean, streaming's come a long way, especially in these last 5 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, we put on a lot worse, I'll tell you that.
We're talking to Stanford Steve, of course, VSPN and the SVP Sports Center, Bad Beats, as we're sitting here discussing. So you mentioned the Jordan, you know, finding old point spreads from the Jordan era. So I'm sitting there and I've been watching these after The Last Dance, and I love the Scott's delivery is fantastic, number one, but I love the back and forth between you two. And I find myself cringing as it transpires, of like, it's a brand new game that I'm seeing for the first time, even though these are all, you know, 20 plus years old. Have you found yourself going through that of like, man, oh, it hurts all over again?
Well, you know what's really funny is I was actually in college, so I didn't bet on games. I didn't have any money, and, you know, I couldn't. But to hear my buddy's reactions from home and, you know, the next day or watching the show live, and it's just incredible how guys remember those Jordan-specific games. Like, the Jazz one we did the other night, my buddy was like, I can't. Because it was just one of, I mean, if you pay attention, that's what made, you know, it's so maddening with Jordan. If you back him, you knew you had to give points, and then you get a backdoor three by the Jazz to end the game. It's what it is in every sport. It's just amazing to see. Yeah, it's amazing to see people's emotions still remember how exactly they felt. I have people reaching out. They knew exactly where they were when they were watching that game, what day of the week it was on. Like, it's pretty bad. You know, gamblers do have a really good memory, and a lot of times it brings on a lot more pain than need be.
Something you brought up earlier that I'm just curious about as we navigate through these difficult times. You guys have been in the studio. We've been working from home, doing radio. That's how I forgot what our studio even looks like. But what is the setup like? We see you and we see Scott on camera and everything looks normal, but what has everything kind of been like behind the scenes as it pertains to social distancing and wearing masks and just some of the protocols?
Bare bones, man. Bare bones. We normally have I'll go backwards. So, like, when we come on the air, right, you know, it's Scott and I in the studio. I have my own desk. I'm off to the side. He's at his desk. And we probably have six camera people, seven maybe. You know, we have a person that, you know, takes care of our audio up there. And we have a prompter that does the prompter. And, you know, now we have the prompter, the person that gives us our earpieces, and two camera people. I mean, it's just minimal. We're using two cameras that whole show, which is a credit to our director, Joe, and his staff that have been able to make the show still look pretty darn creative, you know, with these times. And then our show staff is, I mean, usually in screening, like first off, we start the day with a 5:30 meeting on campus. That's now a phone call. When I go in, you know, usually in our conference room where we watch games every night, we usually have like 10 or 11 people in there, and we're down to like four. So, you know, we got people on the phone. We have a conference call live going on in the conference room. Obviously, there's not a lot of games to watch, but we're watching whatever needs to be on. And then in screening, where all the highlights are cut, there's probably 70 people in there on a night between the, you know, the live game, you know, the 11 o'clock Sports Center, our Sports Center, the LA Sports Center, and then, like, you know, the get up crew comes in, you know, probably at 2 a.m. So there's probably 70, 80 people in there on a given night. And last night I walked through there and there were six people. And they're all on their show. Everybody's, you know, wearing their face masks. The cafeteria is as desolate as I've ever seen. It's kind of depressing. You know, we just got to go over and see what they're making that night. But I mean, I said earlier, I feel fortunate to be able to go in. It's been able to keep my mind right. You know, like I said, I got three girls all in the age of six. So you can imagine how fast I'm running my car to go to work every night to get a little bit of sanity. But it is bare bones, but we've tried to, you know, do our best. And that's what makes the Last Dance shows so awesome, to hear from people that are watching and liking them, is that we've been able to do them with minimal help. And the technology, you know, we're coming right into people. I mean, we have Bob Costas on the other night and he's in his kitchen. We've gone to any length to try and, you know, give the people something to watch and something to laugh at and something to learn from, in this time where we know, you know, we're probably getting a lot more, different eyeballs than we normally get.
Steve, before we let you go, I do want to ask you about this, the Last Dance. And we saw the other night, Dennis Rodman leaves practice to go to wrestling. To go to WCW Monday Nitro. So earlier today, I actually talked to Eric Bischoff, who was the president of WCW at the time and was behind the scenes in all of this. And we brought up, we played a clip, our producer played a clip of Bob Costas just going nuts on Rodman and Karl Malone, you know, wrestling each other on the court. And Bischoff said that, well,
that's the quote where he said, how could you lower yourself to something like that?
Yeah. And basically calling wrestling fake and all this. And, and Bischoff told us today that he had to be careful of how he approached everything with Rodman and Malone, because his boss was Turner and Turner had to deal with the NBA. But he said, you know, if you wanted to get a little physical with Carl and kind of poke the bear a little bit on the court, that wouldn't be a bad thing. So essentially I took that as Eric Bischoff saying he was trying to bring wrestling into a basketball game. And I thought that was fascinating.
I'll tell you what, I've never put these wrestling guys. You talk about being creative and trying to turn the worm. Those guys are always a step ahead. I can't ever, even growing up, I couldn't figure out the storylines watching wrestling. So I always pick those guys up as from storyline builders and needle and poking the bear. They're always a step ahead, no doubt.
Turn the worm. I see what you did there, Steve. Your time is up, sir. You must get back to the girls. We let you a reprieve of about 20 minutes.
Mac and cheese, I gotta make.
Did you say three daughters under the age of six?
Yes, sir. My middle one just turned four on Saturday. I got a six-year-old. I got a 6, 4-year-old, and a 10-month-old.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Mad props to you, my man.
And we're trying a virtual house shop because we're moving the show's moving to D.C. This summer, so we're having a great time.
Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Good to talk to you, and continue to be safe, you and the family, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, I'm reaching out next time I come down to Las Vegas. So
we'll be here. You do that.
All right.
That is Stanford Steve. You right there, ESPN, of course, as you just heard, on the Late Night Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, and he's a part of some of their gambling shows as well. Always good to talk to him. It's always fun, those interviews. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.